pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
Technology is a lie. It is a lie.
We'd have no career if it wasn't for technology. That's the problem.
Yeah, but you know what? I'd be a lot fucking calmer this morning if it weren't for technology.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. That's rough.
Look, it is a 15-year-old computer that we do a lot of heavy lifting with these shows. And this poor fucking thing just was not having it this morning. It was like trying to take an aged dog out in the snow for a shit. Not having it.
Not going there. It didn't want to.
Nope. And then the new machine, which is, 7 years old now, it fucking crashed at the same time. Everything went down.
Oof.
Yeah, it was kind of nutty in here this morning. But, you know, we're back. We got it.
It's working for the moment.
Yep.
We're up. We're running.
Let's hope for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing?
I got interviewed this last week on Comics for All for the Shaolin Nun. On his Ink and Insights that he does first as a live stream and then drops it as a regular episode, so you can watch it. Just go to Comics, and that's Comics with an X, the number 4, and then All. Not all one word either. It's spaced out. And you can find that on the YouTubes.
Awesome.
And you can watch it. I did make sure to give a shout-out to the show, and if you look over my right shoulder here, you'll see on my shelf I gave a shout-out to Monday in America.
Oh, fantastic.
Mondays in America is sitting over my shoulder right now. Yeah. It's not like right up against me, but you know, I figured it's...
private time. I understand.
We don't need to know. We don't need to hear about
it. It really is.
It puts the essays on its skin or it gets the hose again.
These essays, man, they get so hot.
Ew.
Don't kink shame.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It was less kink shaming and more of a that's too much. I don't need to know. Ew.
That was just TMI.
Yeah.
You know, TMI. There's a fine line between announcing TMI and kink shaming. So
it's true.
We try to stay on the correct side of it and say, yeah, TMI.
Yeah, you are more than welcome to do whatever you want with Mondays in America when we're not recording together.
Let's move on.
Sooner or later, all the pages will be together.
I got copies.
I'll have to order a new copy, which Jeff won't mind.
Say, you...
Did you pick that up at mondayinamerica.com?
You know what? I backed the Kickstarter.
Yeah, but we don't have that anymore, so...
I know,
but yeah. mondayinamerica.com is where you could go pick it up when you need your replacement copy.
mondayinamerica.com, and you can get yourself a copy because you missed the Kickstarter and you shouldn't have done that. So go get yourself a copy of mondayinamerica.com.
Yeah.
How about you guys? How's your fun week been? Or not fun week been?
Fantastic. I went to an open house, you guys. Oh, there's this gorgeous house in Mill Creek. Well, okay, wait, it's not gorgeous because it's nearly falling down and needs so much work, but the bones are so beautiful. It's got this beautiful stained glass. That was my big excitement for the week, was that I went and walked through a house that I can't afford to buy anyway, and I certainly can't afford to buy it and renovate it back to its glory. So...
a house that's falling down that if they'd probably try to, they'd probably condemn it if you tried to move in. And yet, I'm sure they're going to charge $500,000 or more for the fucking thing, right?
Pretty close to, pretty close
especially
to,
in Mill Creek.
Yep.
Yeah, especially in Mill Creek, with the with Mill Creek running through the backyard. Yeah.
Oh, that's another house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're knocking. They knocked it down to $1 million because the house is falling down.
How about you, Jeff? Anything remarkable to report?
Well, I think I mentioned, maybe not on this show, but on the other one, that we lost our insurance and cannot afford medication at this time. And that has made this an especially rough week for the person in our household with the rare seizure disorder.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Diabetes, fuck it. I don't care anymore. I'll just stop eating. But I can't take care of her, and it's driving me nuts. So I have had a very shitty week that just is going to keep getting shittier and shittier as we go. So, yay! Aren't you glad you asked?
Yay!
Always. Healthcare. Always glad we ask.
Oh, now you don't kink shame me?
Check on our friends. Make sure everybody's... If there's anything we can do, which obviously we don't have insurance to... spare.
Right.
Yeah, how dare the both of you not be insurance magnates?
Yeah. I know, right? I'll work on that.
It's horrible. Yeah. I didn't go work for a major insurance company where I could get free insurance for everybody I know.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think anybody ever has.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Congress.
Yep, that would be it.
Anyway,
if I got elected to Congress, I would just declare everyone a family member and put them all on my insurance
or staff. I'll work for it.
Personal insurance.
Yeah,
my brother Jeff, my sister Joss.
That's right. That's right.
We'll take care of y'all. Let's see. Let's. What do we got? Let's. Dive into some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Mortal Thor number 14 will mark in legacy numbers the 800th issue for the God of Thunder.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting? Marvel Comics has revealed that August's Immortal Thor 14 marks the 800th overall issue of the God of Thunder series. Including the earlier issues of the anthology as he first appeared in Journey of Mystery. Yeah, the Milestone comic will include a special anniversary backup by Chris Condon and Jesse Lonergan. Nope, Lonergan. Lonergan. Boy, just breezed through that one like I didn't even care. And former Thor and Journey into Mystery writer Karen Gillan. Loved her on Doctor Who. As well as the main story by Al Ewing and Pasquale Ferry. Very exciting. And who's that on the cover there?
Is it Thor?
I don't know. Oh,
you've got current Sigurd Jarlsson Thor, and I would say that's based on the walking stick, that's Don Blake.
Probably. Why does he look like a 40s detective?
Yeah,
that's what I'd like to know.
But then, you know, he showed up in the 60s when, you know, Jack Kirby was still putting everybody in hats. So, because Jack Kirby thought everybody should keep wearing hats.
I miss
even though the
dress-up
hats.
They
were losing that. Yeah.
We were cheated of that.
We were.
You know, somewhere there is a generation dying. You know, I mean, which we've waited for. Let's be honest. I'm not. It's time. But... They're the last generation that knows how to wear a hat without mussing their hair.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I've never mastered it until I just went down to a buzz cut. So, my Jason Statham.
Hair and a lot of Brill Cream, basically.
Which is fine. I've always been a Dapper Dan man myself.
There you go.
Marvel is teasing its Midnight Universe. I'm sorry, Absolute Universe. No. Midnight Universe. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not a blatant ripoff of a different dark universe. They would never, ever do that. But Marvel's second stab at an alternate universe is now a thing of the past. The House of Ideas isn't done with alternate universes just quite yet. Thursday, the publisher distributed a teaser for an upcoming project called Midnight. According to the ever-vague email, which included just one promotional graphic... Midnight is set to be a new alternative universe running alongside 616.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Hickman, so it's going to be, it's probably going to be good, and it's probably going to be thick.
Yep.
Yep.
I know. That's, I'm going to like that. I'm going to like the Hickman doing it. I'm just curious what it is and what it's going to be about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We'll find out. Right now, consensus is that it's going to be a dark and horrible place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, I mean, they already did the Vampire Wars here just a couple of years ago. So, what are you going to do?
Well, this might be, you know, the what-if universe. What if they weren't able to stop the Midnight, you know, thing where they had the permanent darkness and the vampires just took over? What would the world be like where they couldn't turn it off? So that could be it. I don't know. I mean, when you think about this, is like, this is a little like the Absolute Universe where Darkseid just made sure nothing good existed in the universe, and yet, and then we get to see how that all evolves out, you know, Superman arriving on Earth as an adult rather than a baby. Batman not, you know, Bruce Wayne not being rich, so he just bulks himself up with a lot of roids until he's gigantic. Wonder Woman being the Amazons being just taken away.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman being just held by, you know, Diana being held by Cersei until she's finally old enough to go and fight back.
Or
in Absolute Green Lantern.
Yeah.
The Guardians of Oa don't exist, but they're still somehow the Green Lantern spectrum, and it's twisted and weird, you know, all of that. And it's like, what would Midnight be like if Dracula had won, basically, is probably it. Or
I got a different take.
We'll see. I don't know what it is. I'm just speculating because, you know, they're being vague.
Okay. We'll do that then.
Yeah.
All right. Mad Cave Studios to publish You Are on Native Land, a charity comic for Indigenous rights. It's going to be an anthology comprised of stories and art donated by some of the comic industry's biggest Indigenous creators, by which I'm sure they meant most popular.
Right.
All profits from the anthology are to be donated to the Not Our Native Daughters organization, which, according to official PR, is a Native-led, survivor-led organization dedicated to addressing the missing, murdered, and exploited Indigenous women and girls crisis. Mm-hmm. I will literally buy this. I will literally go to the comic book shop and pick this the fuck up.
Yeah,
because
same.
This is one that's important.
This one is vitally important, and I always support anything with Native Americans, not just because I'm from here, but I got a couple of drops of DNA in me. Not that it helped with the whiteness in any way, but I got a couple of drops. And to me, it's like, no, you shouldn't be forced to live like that. So yeah, I'm very excited to read this. It's coming out in September. So, I guess July will be when it is available to order. So I'm going to be ordering it in July. It pops up.
Yep. Cool. Nicholas Brendan's cause of death has been revealed, and while tragic, it's not that flavor of tragic.
Right.
He's 54 years old at the time of death, died from, I am not saying that word, hypertensive cardiovascular disease and atherosclerotic.
Arteriosclerotic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, I did not go to doctor school.
I didn't either, but I did go to nursing school.
That's doctor school.
Somebody here went to a medical school. That's the important part.
Yeah, no, that's so sad. So and in many ways preventable. So go to your doctors, get a checkup when you can afford it, because healthcare in America sucks. But yeah, as a widow, that one was kind of rough to read, that cause of death, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no good.
He had a markedly enlarged heart, severe stenosis of the right coronary artery, moderate stenosis of the left anterior descending and left circumflex arteries, acute pneumonia, and inflammation of the small bowel. That's just extra irritation for you. But they were a little concerned about the level of drugs being that his doctor was just letting him have. So At least I read that somewhere in this article. It's a long article, but I remember reading it going, huh. So maybe there was a little something, kind of the Prince or Michael Jackson thing where it was like, you know, the doctor was just giving them what they wanted and it, you know. But he was already messed up. He'd had a heart attack.
Right.
He reported on it like 2-3 years ago.
Right.
He had a heart attack. So he was already messed up. And if you don't turn it around like Kevin Smith did, this is what you're waiting for, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it for the news.
Let's talk about what books we've read this week. Joss?
You guys, I managed to get through a couple of comic books this week. I was so proud of myself. I finished up Daredevil and the Punisher. You know, I love when they do a Daredevil-Punisher team-up because they are so, like, polar opposites. So it's always the Daredevil trying to convince the Punisher not to kill people and the Daredevil and the Punisher going, screw you, I'm going to do what I want. But it was great. It was really, really well done. I really enjoyed it. It was fun. And then I caught up on Absolute Wonder Woman, or at least I'm pretty sure I'm caught up. I read 17 and 18 of that, and this is Diana fighting, Zatanna and Dr. Poison and Giganta, but it turns out they're all being emotionally controlled by Veronica Kale, and so we're just kind of seeing where that fallout is going to go because she's using her witchy powers for good. So, yeah. That was what I managed to read. How about you, Jeff? Anything?
Still reading Matt Fraction's Thor Omnibus. I'll be at this for a while. I don't get a lot of time to read. What about you, John?
Well, we had Daredevil number 2, which was just outstanding again. It starts with him calling up Foggy, and Foggy's like, dude, I am not leaving Florida. Because he's like, can you come and fill in for my classes? He's like, does this have to do with your other, your nocturnal activities? Because I'm not in Florida right now. And it was like, Matt hangs up on him and he's like, rude. And then later, as Daredevil, he leaves leaves a crime scene or something after talking to a detective. And you get rude from the detectives. Like, apparently he's rude. Then we had Batman number 9. You know, I'm really liking these what they're doing now at Marvel and DC. They're trying to give you single issues again. So it's going back to what we had in the 70s and 80s where we get single issues. Even though it's an ongoing saga,
right?
You could pick up at any point and understand where this is at, where you're at in it. You don't have all the extra exposition like Claremont used to have to put into the X-Men, where he'd have to explain every single X-Man, every single issue, because it could have been somebody's first issue of X-Men. This was a tight issue. Basically, Vandal Savage has decided to, who's the commissioner of Gotham, by the way, the police commissioner of Gotham. He got Pamela Isley, Poison Ivy, who is currently the mayor of Gotham. So Gotham's kind of fucked right now when you think about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. You got two supervillains running Gotham. He got her to sign off on it, and basically they're raiding they've found all of Batman's stash houses across Gotham, and they're raiding them all. So he's down to 3 people to help him. 4 people to help him. So he's got Barbara doing the Oracle stuff. He's got Signal, who we all have all forgotten about. And he's got Batgirl, the former Spoiler as Batgirl, and then Tim, or not Tim, Damian, because Tim quit. Dick is off in Bloodhaven with his own problems. You've got Red Hood. He's wandered off to Chicago, I think. So Batman's kind of got down to a small team, and they have to clean out the stash houses of the important stuff and get it out of there, and they'll deliver it to the the guy Azrael, you know, the knight who took over for Batman, Bruce Wayne, when he broke his back. So he's got a church there in Gotham, so they're taking it to him to stash in the catacombs. And it all leads up to, if you haven't seen the solicitations for next week, Barbara Gordon in prison.
Right.
So Yeah. So this is the story that tells you why Barbara's in prison. There you go. And I'm like, you know, just because it's coming out, literally coming out next week, maybe that should have come out in the last issue of Batman. That's all I'm saying. Just for timing, to make sure people go, oh, I should buy that Barbara Gordon book now, or order that Barbara Gordon book now. Now they're going to be like, oh, it's sorry, it's sold out. And then DC will cancel it because they're not getting enough sales, pre-sales. And if you want to know more about that, listen to, what was it, last week's Patreon, where we talked about that? Or 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. We talked about it. Finally, from Mad Cave, Dog Tag, number one. Where you have a guy who writes a column with cartoons for Stars and Stripes, and he's basically been assigned by the government to by the army to go and occupy the base at Dover and pretend that's where the invasion is, and like write up that that's where the invasion is going to come from in Stars and Stripes, and how they have to do daily paratrooper training and they have to do all this other stuff, and that way the enemy, while they're, you know, the Axis, Germany and that, while they're spying on everything, when they read that, they'll think that it's true because they're like, nobody cares about your article. And he's basically stuck there, bored, while the invasion of Normandy happens. In fact, my favorite thing is they tell him on the 5th, tell everybody there's a lull and they're still waiting orders, and they've been told it might be a week or more before they do the invasion. And he's like, okay. And so he writes that on the 5th, and of course on the 6th, that's the actual invasion of Normandy. So, you know, it was part of the effort. He winds up with a Bronze Star, but the reason why it's called Dog Tag is he gets picked up by his sergeant and taken to the hospital ship that's pulling into Dover. And he's like, you follow the doc around, and anybody who dies, you take their dog tag, one of their dog tags. And so he's having to deal with the grisly part of war right there. You know, this whole time wishing he was involved in it somehow, and now he's involved up to his elbows in blood and everything. And it is startling. Yeah, now apparently now he's going into war in the next issue. So I'm like, wow, this guy's getting the run for World War II, which I'm always happy to read a World War II book since my dad was a World War II veteran. So yeah, I'm like, this is gonna be good. But yeah, that's what I have read this week. We're gonna take a little break, and when we come back, we're gonna give our picks.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left shows J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
One week left, guys. 7 days as of the day of this recording dropping. which is dropping on the 12th. Is that where we're at? Yeah.
Yep.
So dropping on the 12th. There will be just 7 short days because the Kickstarter campaign for The Shaolin Nun, the complete first series, ends on May 20th at 6:30 a.m. in the morning. So you have 7 days left to come in and back The Shaolin Nun. At the moment, as of this time of recording, and we're recording 2 days early, or 3 days early, we are at 132 backers. We're at $5,349. So we're 89% funded, and we still have $651 left to raise to meet our fundraising goal. I don't have the scratch to cover that right now, so because I got a mortgage I got to pay. This is the whole reason I do this is I just don't have the scratch to pay my artists. It's about $4,500, actually a little more than that, to pay my artists for their work, the stellar, beautiful work that they do.
Right. So it's gorgeous.
I need this thing funded, and I know people love to watch me twist in anxiety, apparently. So, and now's your chance to show up, you know, do your last minute show up, your final, you know, just don't wait until the final day. But yeah, 5,000, we need to cover that $651. So, I sent an email out to 200 backers who had backed us in the past and just said, hey, you know, if you contributed $5 today, we'd close this gap. And I did a blind carbon copy, so everybody's, you know, like, well, just my $5 will make a difference? Yeah, because if 200 of them do it, that closes the gap right there.
Right.
It's just a matter of getting them to, yeah, getting everybody to come on. But I know that two-thirds of them will ignore the emails. So can't do it without you. Can't do it without the listeners. ShaolinNun.com/Kickstarter. Back us. Get us funded. Tension. Nothing but tension and stress. I know. First world white person's problems, but still. Meanwhile, it's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss, what are your picks this week?
Mainstream from DC Comics. It's a trade paperback. Wonder Woman, Dawn Before Darkness, DC's Finest. This is Greg Rucka, Gail Simone, and Nicole Scott. This is an era of Wonder Woman I've not read previously, so I'm looking forward to it. Because when Diana's world is under siege from enemies without and doubts within, as Paradise Island descends into strife and a celestial invasion looms, the Amazon warrior faces betrayals, rebirths, and supernatural reckoning. Across space and myth, through darkness and memory, Wonder Woman must fight to protect not just the world, but the soul of heroism itself. That sounds pretty serious. I think I'll pick it up. Give it a read. I love Gail Simone, and I just haven't read her era of Wonder Woman. So
There's talking Sasquatch.
Okay.
Once you can wrap your head around that, it's one of the best Wonder Woman runs I've ever read. But talking Sasquatch, I was just like, or Yeti, whatever, you know, white Sasquatch.
Right.
Gentrified Sasquatch.
yes.
Yeah, once you get over the fact that they're buddies, it's a really good read.
All right. See? It's a good pick then. Mm-hmm. How about you, Jeff? What do you got mainstream pick?
Nothing from Marvel, just because everything's just kind of moving along and I haven't bought in so long that there's nothing really new that jumped out at me. But DC has a Batman in the 70s. This was as he began his transformation from how, and look, I love it. I love it. But mm-hmm. Adam West ruined Batman for like a decade. And so this was sort of as he was evolving and growing and becoming more serious until Frank Miller fixed him. I have to be honest, there's a nostalgic love in my heart for the gray and the blue that I've just,
yes.
You know, it's I love it. I love that. I love that fucking costume. And you know, it's Man-Bat, Huntress, Ra's al Ghul, you know, Batgirl, Robin, the Joker, and all of that, and all that shit that happened in the 70s when I started reading Batman comics. So that one looks cool. And it's got an introduction by Dennis O'Neill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Danny O'Neill wrote the beginning of that, and then what's his name? Neil Adams was one of the main illustrators on it for a while. So yeah, you're gonna get some great Batman from all of that. Absolutely.
Yep. But it is a $20 trade. What about you?
Well, that actually sounds really good. Only $20 for the trade. Let's see, from Marvel Comics, I've got an Iron Man coming out this week. Iron Man number 5. The Fixer, basic. So Madame Mask kidnapped all these people who were potentially the next Tony Stark. And they were trying to, she was trying to put them under pressure so they would do what Tony Stark did under pressure, which was build the Iron Man armor. They came up with all kinds of fun inventions, but none of it seemed to be working. But the Fixer saw something in it, and he wound up building himself a suit of armor shortly after she kidnapped Tony. And Tony found a way to break out and was helping his number one choice to break out. And then the Fixer showed up in basically what looks like Ironmonger armor that's fashioned with all of the inventions these people had made. So she got her wish. She got the next Iron Man, but it's the Fixer doing it all. So that should be fun. From DC Comics? Well, I just talked about it. Might as well grab it. Barbara Gordon Breakout number 1 coming out this week. Leaping from the pages of May's Batman number 9 into the next level. Yeah. The Batman that came out last week, guys. So she's Barb, and what's cool is you in that issue of Batman, you read it, you turn the page, and the very next thing is a 5-page preview for Barbara Gordon Breakout.
Very nice.
That's fun. So yeah, she's shipped off to a Supermax. Lucky she wasn't shipped off to, you know, El Salvador. She was shipped off to Supermax, and which is Vandal Savage's pet prison project for all who oppose him. That sounds familiar. She'll find herself alone, surrounded by dangerous criminals, equally dangerous guards, in a place where nothing is what it seems. The true danger is just beginning. And it's written by Mariko Tamaki.
Nice.
I'll take a Mariko Tamaki book anytime. So, and M&K Nahuelpan. That's an interesting name. I wonder where that's from. The artwork is stunning. Is doing the artwork, and it's stunning from what I saw in the preview. This is the kind of book I will enjoy reading. So, yay for Barbara Gordon Breakout. Independent-wise, from Titan Comics, we have Tank Girl, the Motherlode Slipcase Set. And this is the biggest collection of Outback antics featuring the ever-popular, ever-rebel, without-a-cause, ever-loving Tank Girl, three spectacular omnibuses from creators Alan Martin and a host of legendary comic artists. A must-have for fans, this epic slipcase collects three next-level volumes of Tank Girl, which showcase hijinks and capers galore. You get classic characters including Booga, Jet Girl, Sub Girl, and the gang, basically. So, and you get four exclusive art cards in the box. And all three volumes include new cover art exclusive to the slipcase set, and it's only $69.99.
Nice.
Thank you. Which is the appropriate price for a Tank Girl series. And then we have from Oni Press, this one caught my eye, Destination Kill by Joe Palmer. It's basically picking up Judge Dredd or V for Vendetta or even Tank Girl, they say. The first great milestone in 22nd century science fiction is here. And it's the year is 2125, and the all-powerful corporation Overcon uses its robot workers to pour our drinks and dispense our meds, all while rebuilding London's central city into a hyper-modern megalopolis bolted together in its own image. But as Overcon prepares to celebrate the first year of its Paradise Loop, a super-fast transatlantic train that connects the central city to New York, in under 60 minutes. Jesus Christ. An unwieldy army. That's warp speed. An unwieldy army of displaced human workers floods the streets with weapons, plotting an attack at the anniversary gala. Enter Gina Serena, stressed out, pill-popping police detective in desperate need of a vacation, and her ex-partner turned PI Lance Wingman, who are now the only thing standing between Overcom's skyscraper-sized fist and the worker uprising that threatens to bring Britain's capital crashing down around them.
Nice. That sounds
and then
good.
I got one just, this is a pick. We'll call this Bobby D's pick, okay? I saw this, and I was like, this would be Bobby D's pick. It's called Dirty 20. It's from Disney. It's a novel from Disney. It's called Dirty 20. Tommy Fugue never cared for the family business, but when his father, a.k.a. Big Al, a.k.a. King of the Denver Streets, assigns him the summer job of laundering money online, Tommy figures he can list some fake projects on FunFunder, Kickstarter basically, pledge from his zombie accounts, and clean a dirty $20,000 in time for college in the fall. Unfortunately for Tommy, he's more creative than he thought. Just as he's about to give his father's capos a progress report, he sees that a role-playing game he mocked up using his mom's old artwork has been funded to the tune of $650,000. And counting. The only thing scarier than an angry Big Al is a Big Al that spells cash and family bonding time. Voluntold by their mercurial boss to assist various criminals and killers to help playtest and produce Tommy's 1,000 Blades of Terror Givers RPG in the hopes they can truly turn a dirty 20 into legit millions. At first, Tommy sees game sessions with brothel owners, hit women, and a street captain with OCD as yet another example of why he needs to get out from under his father. But when Tommy realizes that being a game master might help him uncover what these criminals know about his mother's disappearance, it's game on.
Ooh.
This is a novel. And I'm like, yeah, Bill Schweigert wrote this. It's called Dirty 20. Level up your crime game. I'm going to be looking for that one next week, probably on Amazon, if anything. So. How about you, Jeff? What are your indie picks?
From Bad Idea, Megalith, number one, The Olympus Saga. Honestly, it's the cover art. It looks fucking great. I have no idea what the hell it's about. But, you know, this mm-hmm. is Louis LaRosa. And LaRosa is the artist. He did Punisher Max, which I always liked. And he did Bloodshot, which, as I recall, his run was really pretty to look at. And it's written by Matt Kent, Hero Trade and Berserker. So, yeah, something happened in Baltimore. A giant monolith crashed into the heart of Baltimore, obliterating 16 square blocks. That's enough. I'm there. I'm fine.
Okay.
You know, it's Bad Idea. Yeah, it's going to run, what, 4 or 5 issues and story told. And then from Titan Comics, I'm also picking up Tank Girl, the Motherlode slipcase set. I'm just getting the other cover.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting the one where she's mooning the camera or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, fair. Yeah. I thought of you when I saw that, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I was like, this will be Jeff's pick.
Well.
I just know it.
When you think of an ass, I guess you could think about me. That's all right. Anyway, what do you got, kid?
Also from Titan Comics, but mine is Lenore Ghost Story number one, Nature. It's itchy and there's bugs in it. Yet this is where Lenore and crew decide to spend a little relaxation time camping while each taking turns telling their best ghost story under a star-encrusted night sky. Not surprisingly, things don't go well as some painful memories are rehashed and the ghost of Mr. Gosh decides this is a perfect opportunity to make an unwanted appearance. I just need to know what is a ghost of Mr. Gosh. I need to know what the backstory is there. So I'm going to pick this up. It sounds like a cute little spooky ghost story book for me. So, yeah, that's my pick of the week.
Awesome. Well, let's hop in the TARDIS, and we are going to head into July to give our picks of the future. Okay, just to remind everyone of this, you need to order these right now. You need to go into your comic book shop today or tomorrow, because it's comic book day on Wednesdays, and you need to order these. That we, in an article we covered last week, this is what the comic book companies use to determine whether or not a comic book gets to live or die. Not every comic book company is set up to do reprints. Doug Wagner's Narco, for example, which we promoted right here and said, you make sure you order it, has gone to its third reprinting, which is awesome for Doug and Daniel. But at the same time, it's like, we should have had it. You should have been out there ordering it. So you got to make sure you're ordering it. You cannot count on walking in and picking up the store's copies and having them still be there, especially if you go after Wednesday. So make sure you're ordering these today. With that being said, Joss, what should people be ordering today that you like?
From Dark Horse, The Smart Division number 1. This is being written by Zach Kaplan, who is the author behind Kill All Immortals and Kill All Immortals 2, which I really liked. This is a dark and modern sci-fi detective series set 5 minutes in the future, when a mysterious new predictive artificial intelligence program appears responsible for assisting someone in the perfect murder. A pair of unlikely investigators, a chaotic Gen Z savant, and a veteran FBI agent must hunt down the killer by starting the FBI's first AI crimes division. I love his writing in Kill All Immortals, and this is a very intriguing concept to me. So I'm going to pick it up and give it a read. How about you, Jeff? What you got for your pick of the future?
Pick of the future is coming out from Mad Cave. It's Momo. Or Moo, or well, I don't know how to say it, but it's John Cusack. And I'd forgotten John Cusack was going to put out a comic. And now it has been bound in a hardcover for $30. Or, if you're fancy-pantsy and have diamonds in your shoes, it's $50 with a slipcase. But yeah, it's John Cusack, a genre-bending road trip with cosmic stakes. All right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's two fugitives form an uneasy alliance on a mission tied to none other than Jackie Gleason. Yes, that Jackie Gleason. Okay.
Yes, that Jackie Gleason.
Fine. Fuck it. I'm on. Let's go. Let's go, John Cusack, you fucking weirdo. Love this guy. What about you?
For me, from Dynamite Comics, this is the one. We talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 1, from Kelly Thompson and Stephen Byrne.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kelly Thompson writing it, Stephen Byrne drawing it. It looks incredible. It's doing Buffy. It's picking up Buffy from where it left off with the TV series. We're just jumping into it. And if anybody was going to be in charge of it that wasn't Joss Whedon, Kelly Thompson's the one I'd pick. So
absolutely.
I know she's a Slayer fan, so yeah, this is going to be awesome. So let's go Buffy. That's coming out in July, so place your orders today, kids. And with that being said, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're heading to Tinseltown.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did, and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right. Well, let's talk about what we've been watching this week that wasn't the Daredevil season finale. Joss?
All right, fine. not the Daredevil season finale. it was May the 4th, you guys, so I did a little bit of a Star Wars binge. In that, I watched Rogue One, and then I had to watch New Hope, and then I had to watch Empire Strikes Back, and then I wasn't working from home the rest of the week, so I didn't watch anything else. But I did watch those ones while I worked from home. I had them on in the background. I watched, I'm still watching on PBS, the Count of Monte Cristo series. You guys, it's just so pretty. I just love this. I love it. It's one of my favorite books. This is such a great show, such a great retelling. And then I have been watching with my favorite plus one, and I have been watching Ted Lasso season 3 because he hasn't seen it. And we watched the Amsterdam episode, which it was especially, I think it's my favorite Ted Lasso episode of all of them. Number one. Number two, I just recently got back from a trip to Amsterdam, so it was really fun to see it, having now been to Amsterdam. But my favorite plus one actually spent 2 years in the Netherlands, and so it was really fun to watch it with him and see his reaction to it.
Are you trying to rebrand Special Friend with this new thing?
My favorite plus one?
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just beta testing things. Come on now.
I just wanted to let you know that one's not going to work. You're going to have fun.
That one's not going to work. That one's not doing it for you.
Because I can say Special Friend with a tone. I can't say Jocelyn's favorite plus one. You know, I might as well be running a panty raid on a sorority in a college movie. Nerds. Anyway.
Okay. Okay, that one's not going to work. I gotcha. But we watched that episode, and it was delightful and lovely, and I was reminded of just how much I love that specific episode of Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jeff? What did you watch this week that was not Daredevil?
So, I didn't put it on my list, but I rewatched season 3 of Mandalorian.
Oh.
The Mandalorian and Grogu is out, like, not next week, but the week after.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In theaters. And yeah. I, for one, am saving... Look right here. I have change. I have saving my change. There's another piece. Because I am definitely seeing that movie in the theater. It's, you know, Dave and John deserve to be treated well by fans. That yes. appreciate what they do. And so, yeah, I'm absolutely going to. Will I advance buy tickets? No, I will not, because I fucking hate that. I hate that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, this movie's going to fail because advance ticket sales. It's like, fuck your advance ticket sales. I don't have any fucking money.
Most of us don't do advance ticket sales until the week it comes out.
Yeah, I don't know when I can go.
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I have to plan the whole thing like a fucking event? No, I just want to go to the fucking movies. Chill out.
Yep.
Yeah.
For All Mankind, we were continuing the soap of it, and then we got into some sci-fi space drama, and that was good. It was a good return to form for them this week. I really... It had some sad bits. It had some happy bits. It was good. It was bad. There was... It's all tense as fuck up on Mars right now, and I am here for it. Jack Ryan over on Prime with what's his name? Mr. Emily Blunt.
I was gonna say John Krasinski.
Yeah. They did, I think, 4 or 5 seasons of this show. I'm just finishing season 1. And they're putting out a movie of him as Jack Ryan on on the platform here any minute now, and I'm like, ooh, I want to catch up on this, because you know what, fuck it, I was a big Tom Clancy fan. I liked his books until he started letting other people write them and then died. So you know, and I like Krasinski a lot in this role. He does a really good job. He's really good for it. Over on Netflix, I was watching Funny AF. Kevin Hart doing a little ripoff of Last Comic Standing, kind of. But the comedians, for the most part, were really, really good. There are a couple in there that, like Olivia Taylor. I can't remember her name, but yeah, it was funny. It was actually quite funny. And I enjoyed that. And then, to wrap it up, I watched Stallone's First Blood and Transformers from 2007.
Sounds like homework.
So if you want,
sounds like homework.
If you want to hear what that's about, you can tune in to Gen Zex every Wednesday at theleftshow.com, where me and the coolest kid in the room, Braxton, talk about our different childhoods, what we grew up on, what we watched, what we played, and compare it to one another. It's really just two stone dudes sitting around having a chat about fucking awesome shit from our childhoods. So
that's cool.
I've been having a good time with it. So that's what we're doing there.
I recently rewatched First Blood not that long ago, and it's
good, solid movie.
It's still held up.
Yeah. Yeah, solid movie. Yeah.
Brian Dennehy was an asshole. Yeah.
Oh, he's so good at it. I fucking miss Brian Dennehy so much.
I miss him every time I see him on something. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then I like all of the Rambo movies for the most part for reasons, except for the very last one where he was living in the Midwest and built himself some catacombs. And I never really understood the point of that fucking movie. It could have just been, you know, Uncle Jack's weird fucking farm and would have been much better than it being a Rambo movie. So, you know, I mean, that's just me. But how about you?
I didn't put it in the roundup, but I, too, on May the 4th, watched a Star Wars movie. I watched Empire.
Nice.
You know, I'm reading the opening crawl out loud, and it gets to the Rebel Alliance, led by Luke Skywalker, has set up a base on Hoth. And I'm like, they're not being led by Luke Skywalker. They're being led by Leia Organa.
Right.
My God, what is this? That I'm like, clearly misogyny back in the 80s there, in 1980. I was like, I know everybody loved Luke Skywalker, so of course he had to put him at the top, you know, in the name of it. But no, Leia is the one who got them there. She was the one who was coordinating the entire fucking base, you know. It was...
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
Luke is on patrol. He's doing janitorial duty.
Margo's got money problems. Oh, my God, what a great show that is. I'm just in love with it. The Boys... okay. I think that had to happen. What just happened at this one, I think it had to happen. I kind of know how they're going to fix it. I think it's what they did in the comic book. I don't remember. But I think I know how they're going to fix the problem. But, oh boy, what a thing. And then, of course, we had the Daredevil season finale.
Oh my gosh.
I got all the things I wanted. I got Jessica Jones. I got the courtroom. I got the goddamn, I was waiting for Wilson to say, "You can't handle the truth." Just kept waiting for him to say it. And then just you know, watching Wilson in action, and it's like, you know, it's like I'm like, this is it, man. This is exactly what we're seeing in our current world.
Right.
You know, if we'd made this under the Obama administration, people would say that's so over the top. You know, this is working well because it's reflecting what we're seeing right now. And Jesus Christ, what a show. Holy cow. So I want a spinoff now, because I want to know that ending.
Right.
You know, the coda. I want to know what that's all about. You know, it's like, wait, he was doing something, and now he's going to do it for him so he can come back. And I'm like, but what was he doing?
Right. I had to connect some dots for Mini-Me. Because, again, Mini-Me didn't watch the Netflix series. They were too young for those series. So I kind of had to explain a little bit of who showed up and why that was such a big deal. And then also had to give a little explanation of comic book versions of a few of the characters versus the show versions of the characters. Specifically, there is one member of the task force that I screamed aloud at their one moment that finally I was like, yes, that's the moment. I've been waiting for this moment for 2 seasons.
That Zdarsky's character?
Mm-hmm. That's you know, the, Zdarsky. Yeah. Yeah, Zdarsky introduced
Zdarsky
that character.
Zdarsky was like, oh, they killed him. And, yeah.
Yeah. Zdarsky introduced the character. Mm-hmm. We can talk offline, Jeff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was super excited to see that happen. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't wait for season 3 now. I need everybody to go watch it like 4 more times all the way through so that Marvel and Disney will keep giving it to us.
Yeah,
because if you don't, they're going to keep giving it to us.
Right.
They will keep giving it to us. We may not like it.
Right.
I think it was renewed for a third season. We'll see if we mm-hmm. if you keep watching it, we could get 4 or 5 seasons out of this thing.
Right.
And I would love to have that.
Right.
All right. I guess that is it. Let's do some Tinseltown news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Ted Turner. Dead at 87. Ted Turner. Medium maverick.
He wasn't already dead, really?
He wasn't already dead, no.
Oh.
No. He just didn't do much anymore. He bought, like, yeah, Wyoming and then stopped. A while ago. So, yeah, he's the guy. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Ted Turner, philanthropist, medium maverick who founded CNN. Yes, CNN. Died peacefully Wednesday, murdered by his family, according to a news release from Turner Enterprises. He was 87, born in Ohio, nicknamed the Mouth of the South. I've always kind of put Ohio in the Midwest. That's yeah. kind of where I am yeah. with Ohio.
Didn't quite call him a Southerner, but he, yeah.
Anyway, he really liked boats. He was rich as fuck. He bought Wyoming and he started CNN. Yeah, and I think, didn't he own the Braves for a while?
He owned the Atlanta Braves, mm-hmm. and he actually started a television network, TBS, which was, WTBS Atlanta. And what did, it stood for the Braves station, Atlanta, and he played Braves games on it. And he was the guy who said, what if we sold this so that people all over the country could watch my beloved Braves play baseball? And they'd probably like it because their team will be playing my beloved Braves at some point. And that really was the beginning of cable television. Him putting that out there and people figuring out, okay, we need to run cables, we need to do all this stuff. He was one of the first people to put out a channel that wasn't premium that anybody could have. And then he followed that up with Turner Classic Movies. We didn't have Turner Classic Movies. We never had Mad Men. Mm. And Mad Men launched their television saga, which has included things like Preacher and everything else. So, comic book shows. He even created the Captain Planet cartoon. Did you know he created that? He was an environmentalist. Yeah, for all of his shit, he was a major environmentalist, and he was like, I want to educate kids about the environment, so he created the Captain Planet cartoon to do it.
And the Cartoon Network.
And Cartoon Network right along with it, because he's like, where are all the great cartoons I used to watch?
But even the inventor of Captain Planet could do something wrong in colorizing almost 4,000 films when he bought the MGM library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was... he even colorized fucking Casablanca.
Yeah.
That was a dark part of our history.
That was a dark period of our existence with Ted Turner. Yeah. For all the good, there were some bad. Yeah, there was some bad, yes.
We have a cast. We have a cast for Sex Criminals.
I'm ready.
I'm excited. I don't know who the fuck John Reynolds is, but he certainly he looks the part.
Yeah, he looks like the Matt Fraction looking dude from from the
but,
book.
But Imogen Poots is coming on.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was excited because this is coming from Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon and a bunch of other people I don't give a shit about. But that'll bite me in the ass one day. I hope. And because that'll mean that I'm in a much better tax bracket than I am now for that to bite me in the ass.
Exactly.
But yeah, Imogen Poots, I like her. Not only is she wicked talented, you know, she's hot. Hands down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's when hot people can also be talented. Outstanding. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be 8 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
8 episodes. And if you haven't read Sex Criminals yet, I'm not going to tell you what it's all about. Get thee to the comic book shop and pick it up in trade. It's worth the time. What else do we got?
Just the best series.
Yeah. I'm going to skip through a couple of these because you know what? Let's take these over to Patreon with us because we're at the end.
All right.
All right.
We're going to talk about who's going to be in Miami Vice 85 and a wishful thinking from a former Thor director. We're going to be talking about that as well over at Patreon at patreon.com/dfinmedia, where every week we give you extra content that you're not going to hear here for free. You need to come over and join our Patreon squad, help us make it a Patreon platoon. Along with those two stories, we also have the 7 best Marvel supervillain philosophies that we're going to talk about. This is another David Harth list, so we'll see if we agree. But it is the seven best Marvel supervillain philosophies that we're going to talk about. And all of that is at patreon.com/dfinmedia. Until we see you again, I will say, as I always do, until Matt Murdock is rude, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.